With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Sticks in the Six podcast. Here are your co-hosts, Andrew Forbes, Peter Barachini, and Alex Hopton.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Sticks in the Six, episode 150. Peter, can you even imagine that we have reached this point after, you know, starting out in our basements? We're now at 150. Obviously, it's just the two of us tonight. Alex, again, traveling the globe, hitting up the West Coast this week, you know, taking in the slopes and what he can in a different time zone from us. But yeah, episode 150, buddy. How's it going today?
Yeah, happy 150 to you, man. Again, it just seems so surreal. Like, it just seems like yesterday we were just starting this off at like midsummer because we were bored out of our goddamn minds of what to do
in the midst of COVID.
Yeah, like literally. And now all of a sudden, 150 episodes in, we're still going strong with the content. And yeah, just really happy to keep doing this with you. Here's another 150 more and 150 beyond that, because this has been an absolute ride. Overall, I've been good, man. Obviously, this week I kind of like you always have one of those weeks where you just need to like take a step back, relax, and everything like that. Been doing that a bit lately. Today I went some, you know, retail therapy and did some shopping, got some new kicks. Had to get some new AirPod earbuds because mine were completely busted up. And you know what? For doing that, as if that's going to be my highlight, so be it. I don't care. It was nice and relaxing today. How are you doing, man?
Buddy, a little bit of retail therapy never hurt anybody.
Yeah.
Never hurt anybody. No, I'm doing good. Like you said, happy to be here, episode 150. And as a little thank you to the listeners who have stuck with us over the past 3.5 seasons, I'm going to throw an open invite. You ever see that movie Invincible with Mark Wahlberg, where they throw that open invite out, like based on the true story of the Philadelphia Eagles, throw an open invite out to anyone to come out and try and make the team out of summer training?
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay. So you got all these people, all kinds of people lining up at the Eagle Stadium wanting to try out, and he ends up making the team. You know, has his 5 minutes of Eagles fame or whatever. But anyways, I'm going to throw it out there this episode because Alex isn't here. He hopefully will be stopping at some point. It is episode 150 after all. But there's an open invite. If you're listening, if you're a Leaf fan, if you want to come on and have a quick Leaf take, and you got a nice little setup at home, and you know, you're waiting to get your 2 minutes, shoot us a quick message, a DM, whether it be on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, wherever we're kind of, we're going live here right now, and we'll throw you the link. Maybe you come on for a couple minutes and shoot the shit about the Leafs. But outside of that, big shout out to the Hockey Podcast Network for getting us on here. They continue to support us. DraftKings, Indy Ale House, episode 150. It's going to be strictly Leafs. We're not talking any league-wide stuff going on right now. We're going to talk strictly Leafs. So let's get into it. Let's get right into the heart of why we started this podcast. The Toronto Maple Leafs, Morgan Rielly, We talked about it last week, his suspension, five games. We were kind of all on the fence. We knew he was going to get suspended. We were all kind of hoping 2 to 3 games, and all of a sudden, George Parros comes down with the most inconsistent decision ever made and gives him 5 games. And now we're talking about the Department of Player Safety again. It seems like an endless conversation. So at 5 games, you don't go to an outside arbitrator when you appeal. You go to Gary Bettman. And Gary Bettman has overturned maybe one of George Parros' decisions over the years since 2017. He upheld the 5 games. I think we all knew that was going to happen when he didn't make the decision before Game 4. We knew Game 5 was obviously going to happen. His statement about Morgan Riley's suspension and why it happened, what is your takeaway from Gary Bettman's explanation as to why he upheld the 5-game suspension?
A lot of things, really. Basically his comments saying that, even just the comments that he made, Mr. Riley's actions were not taken in self-defense. They were not accidental, and they were not reflexive. They were not simply careless or merely reckless. Along those lines, it just seems like, he feels that Riley had this intention when meanwhile we all saw the stick ride up the shoulder and hit him in the face, right? Again, we knew it was going to be a suspension. Main point of contact was the shoulder, not the head. So I just don't understand why he's painting this picture that, it was a vicious attack when we've seen many, many more vicious attacks, or 10 times worse, where the Jacob Trouba one, where Alex mentioned, where what I don't know what his, reference was or how he compared it to, but, kind of like the Paul Bunyan whack across Trent Frederick's head right there. That was more malicious and more intent than what Riley did now. And for him to come out with his comments, I'm just going to say it is what it is. You're not going to change his mind, especially now that the fact that maybe he didn't want Riley. I don't know why, but I thought he would have rescinded it and it would have just led to time already served. But I think that if he's doing stuff like this, like if there's no independent arbitrator to get it rescinded and he's the one making the call, I hope, and this is probably wishful thinking, that he is going to do this for other suspensions like this in the near future. And if he does rescind them, then it's going to create this whole up in arms saying, well, you rescinded this. This is 10 times worse than what Morgan Riley did. Where's the disconnect right there? Why are you doing this but didn't do that for Riley? That's where I'm headed right now. If he's making these comments, he's got to set the bar as well as the league that this won't be tolerated, even if it is accidental. Fine. Just be consistent about it, because like you said, the inconsistency with this is just god awful at this point. That's where I stand with his comments. It was like I can't believe he even said that his suspension almost certainly would have been considered to be longer if he did not have a clean record. Well, what the hell does that say about Brad Marchand? What does that say about Tom Wilson? Where their records are definitely not squeaky clean.
Yeah, I mean, there was certainly a lot to take away from this. So here's kind of where I'm coming from is in upholding the 5-game suspension. One, I question whether it was a 5 versus 6 game, because then it wouldn't go to the outside arbitrator. I truly think that decision was made consciously, knowing that Bettman would be the one who upholds the decision. Beyond that, though, there was one quote that came from Bettman, and he said, had he done so in reference to engaging with Greg in a different way, saying he had enough time, sufficient time to engage with Greg differently, example, with a push or a shove, or even dropping his gloves to fight. Had he done so, there likely would have been no need for supplemental discipline. So I want to take you back to this whole idea that the league is about player safety. And one of the biggest things that they've been focused on over the last few years, and Alan Walsh will defend me on this, saying that the league does not give a shit about CTE, does not give a shit about concussions, still does not own the fact that concussions happen. Mm-hmm. And he promoted the fact that he should have dropped his mitts and fought him. Yet Greg would still have been an unsuspecting player in that same situation had he dropped the mitts. So for me, I'm looking at it and I'm like, this is completely hypocritical. That whole comment, you're telling your players that, yeah, you should go out and fight rather than, you know, take matters into your own hands and do that. Two, you're saying that he had enough time. I think there was it was a split second decision. Wires crossed. It happened.
But you saw in the replay that Greg was literally looking at Riley coming after him. There's at least a 2 to 4 second gap in between.
You don't do that play. And shout out to Sens fans who got their arms like they got their panties in a knot because I put a post out there saying, look at all the hits that Ridley Griggs taken over the last week. But I mean,
saw that little, went viral.
It like 100% it went viral.
It blew up.
It is, people are freaking out. And I'm like, you know, whatever. I was poking fun at the whole situation. But anyways, that's besides the point. You essentially, when you do something like that, you know what's coming. You've played hockey long enough. If you're in the NHL, you've played hockey at levels where you know that if you try to showboat, if you try to show somebody up, and everyone's going to go back to the Austin Matthews, it's a goal celebration as showboating. That was against the refs. That had nothing to do with the team that he was playing. That was a goal called back that shouldn't have been called back in the first place. And he's coming back saying, okay, now that one's for sure a goal. Mm-hmm. That, sure, you want to call it showboating, that's fine. Nobody took exception to it because everybody knew it had nothing to do with the opposition. Whereas this play had everything to do with who he was playing, everything to do with the Leafs. Yeah. And absolutely, Morgan Riley, who literally, if you look at his penalty minutes per game over his career, make the comparison if you want, but this is not a guy who does this on a regular basis. The wires crossed. He had a momentary lapse in judgment. And yeah, I would have given him 2 games. Absolutely. But, you know, it's just amazing that the NHL went complete hypocritical on everything that they've tried to do over the past number of years. And it's actually right in line with everything that they've done in the past couple of years. The lack of wearing, you know, special jerseys and warmups, something they've tried to do is create inclusivity. They went against that this year. They tried to get rid of pride tape, creating inclusivity. That's something they went against again this year. Now they're saying, well, I would have rather you dropped your mitts and punched him in the face than you cross-check him in the side of the head after it rides up his shoulder. Okay, yeah. No problem. You want to talk about player safety? Again, you've gone against everything that you've tried to do in this league for the past 10 years and you know, just basically shit on that. So that comment got me. And then the other comment that got me was when he said that the force behind Riley's cross-check was worse than any previous incident that they had seen or that the Leafs had brought up in their meeting. And one of those incidents was Jeff Skinner. I forget who was on, but it was Jeff Skinner. Go back, watch Jeff Skinner's cross-check. He got suspended 3 games at the time for that cross-check. And the comment about there being more force behind Morgan Riley's cross-check might be the most bullshit comment I've ever read in my entire life. So
I don't even think Gary's that would crack the top 10.
No, absolutely not. And you bring up Jacob Trouba on Trent Frederick. Like, Gary Bettman is lost. Gary is lost.
Out of touch.
I don't know if he's out of touch. This goes way back to his Kyle Beach presser after that all came out and how ridiculous his comments were then. This is a guy who has no fucking idea who his audience is. And there's a time and place when you need to read the room and say, look, this is the situation. We need to start talking about it. Look at the inconsistencies in the Department of Player Safety. Let's talk about it. The time is now. I'm sick and tired of it. Every fan base that has a player suspended where there is an inconsistency is tired of it. It's not just a Leafs thing. It's league-wide. There's inconsistent decisions being made inside the league office. Fix it. because this is asinine to even be having this conversation about a guy who was literally in the Lady Bing conversation a week prior to smoking Ridley Greig in the fucking head.
And you bring up that point too. Like, we complain about how the officials don't know the rule book with all these missed calls and everything like that. It's going at a fast pace. What, yada, 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 video review and all that. It's even more sad that the commissioner of this league, who basically approved of the NHL rule book, does not know the rules or what would constitute as a suspension worthy play, hit, whatever. Again, suspension worthy. Did it require the max amount of games for that? Absolutely not. And I agree with you. Like, he is so out of touch right now that, you know, they literally got a clean house, you got to get a new voice in. I don't know what's going to happen with that. I don't know what the process is. I think fans would love it if Bettman was out as commissioner of the league and get somebody in that actually knows what they're doing and actually cares about player safety and actually puts their foot down and not be very inconsistent with the rulings where Trouba could get a fine, but Riley could get a suspension. I really don't know about this. This is just really, I'm really at a lot. I really can't find any more words to describe this because of just how disgraceful this really is. And as a commissioner of the league, you should at least have an idea in your mind of what the penalty should be just in case it does come to you. And you should already have some sort of evidence to back up your comments, because his comments did not do that at all.
Here's the thing, though. After everything that I just said, I'm not even surprised. So, like, yeah. I go on this, full-blown tangent about how useless Gary Bettman is as a commissioner. And at the same time, I'm not even surprised that it was upheld because, like, I mean, it's the NHL and it's Gary Bettman. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Alan Walsh, get in there. You be the commissioner. Like, what you've said on Twitter or X or whatever over the last little while, you know, you're more in touch with what's going on in the league and you're right in the thick of it with players. I mean, you know what's going on. So,
I think it would have
provocateur, provocateur right there.
I was about to say with that show. Listen, he does have that great show on the Steve Dangle Podcast Network. But if there comes a time where he has to leave and become commissioner, now is the time, because I think everybody would love him in there because he makes the comments that basically everyone agrees with at this point.
Why couldn't you still have the show?
Oh, you can still do it. First, yeah,
first
there you go.
Major League commissioner. First
with his own podcast
to have his own podcast.
There you go. I think
that's perfect.
There you go. So take out what I said before.
I'll be his agent if he needs it. anyways, that said, with the Leafs, the way that they played without Riley in the lineup, I believe the numbers are like 17-2-1 all time when he's out of the lineup. And obviously 4-0 since the cross-checking incident. Obviously tonight will be I want to say big test. People are going to underestimate these Coyotes that are on a 10-game losing streak.
No, it is a big test.
But these are the teams that the Leafs lose against, especially when they're going in on a 4-game win streak and you got the Coyotes on a 10-game lose streak. Like, if you're a betting person, take the Coyotes and take Austin Matthews to score, parlay that, and you're coming out big. But
also with a nice assist, hopefully.
With a nice assist as well. But that being said, the Leafs are 4-0 this season without Riley in the lineup. Your take on their play, is it a Ridley Greig sparked run here, or what are we talking about?
I wouldn't necessarily say that it's really Greig inspired, but more Morgan Riley showing some fight and some, you know, snot, piss, and vinegar that, you know, Treliving wanted to see with this team. And you saw that with that incident. You know, he didn't like it. You know, he didn't take too kindly to it. He goes up to him and he showed him how he felt. And the timing was very perfect, because that game against the Blues, his first game with the suspension, was a big test, because the Blues were kind of hot coming into that game. Maple Leafs kind of inconsistent, you know, lose one, lose two. They would win one, lose two. I don't know what the record would be, but they were very inconsistent, even heading into the All-Star break. They probably had one of their best shutdown defensive physical performances of the year to date in that game. Simon Benoit, Jake McCabe were absolutely phenomenal as the quote unquote top pairing. You had Bobby McMahon show up with a hat trick. You had some depth scoring where the stars were productive. They had their chances, but they couldn't find the score sheet. And, you know, you saw them finish their checks. You saw them be physical. You never saw that before. You saw that in the same game against the Philadelphia Flyers, you know, kind of a bit of an inconsistent effort, slow start, but Matthews carried the team on his back, you know, William Nylander, game-winning goal. Then you had the Rakho Gudas game filled where it was all Maple Leafs going after him, Domi, Reeves, everybody, because they still forgot what happened in the playoffs last season. And you could tell that probably Gudas was afraid of them because every single opportunity came, especially Reeves going in his face, he turtled and backed away. So that whole tough side of Gudas, no show. And then same thing, St. Louis Blues, bit of a slow start, afternoon game, and then they come out and they still manage to find a way to secure the victory. Power play, penalty kill, 5-on-5, they were absolutely dominant or actually played to their level in the second and third period. These are the games that build character. They build that Stanley Cup mentality. They build that, I'm actually going to write about it, how they've played or how they're playing to win it during the suspension. This is the type of play that should go a long way in the playoffs. Now, whether the trade deadline has anything to do with it, they bring in new faces or what have you, this mindset, the way that they have played these four games should resonate throughout the rest of the season, and they're getting hot at the right time. They dismantled an opponent that they probably should have in the Ducks. They need to do the same against the Coyotes. Like you said, you know, this is going to be a test for them because the Coyotes have been pretty good this season. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Aside from the whole arena situation, their team itself, they've been pretty decent. Again, the fact that they've lost 10 games, bit of a slump. Can it turn around? Usually it happens against the Maple Leafs because why not? And they literally cannot bow down to their opponent. They need to basically, you know, take a stranglehold right from the very beginning of the faceoff, just like they did against the Ducks. Show no mercy, because now you're feeling you have momentum on your side. Nylander said that his suspension lit a fire in this team. That's the type of mentality that you need to have. And we talk about this, how this factor has been inconsistent for the Maple Leafs at times. If they keep showing this, you know, we're not going to take this anymore mentality, that's something to look forward to and take with you during the stretch leading up to the deadline and even after that.
Yeah, I mean, he said, Nylander said it. We're doing this for Mo. You know, and I like what you said off the top. Like, you're not giving any credit to Ridly Greig on this because there's no credit to be given. At the end of the day, it's
Riley did what he had to do. He had to send that message.
Exactly. And that's the something that they've been missing for so long, to see those quote unquote star players coming out and actually, you know, tipping the kettle a little bit and saying, you know what, I'm hot, I'm going to go after this guy. That's exactly what he did. In saying that, you know, this is, like I said, this is going to be a test for them tonight. They take them on at 10 o'clock when this podcast is released on the streaming services. You know, the game will already be over, but, and I was correct there. They are 17-2-1 all time without Riley in the lineup. So the numbers favor the Leafs. Them being on a four-game win streak favors the Leafs. The fact that Matthews is going for 50 at home favors the Leafs. I'm sure there's going to be money on the board. Anybody who's heard that term understands what that is. I'm sure Matthew Nyes will put money on the board. I'm sure Matthews will put money on the board. And I'm sure the boys will have a great time out on the city after all is said and done. But they need to play full 60 minutes tonight against a tough Coyotes team. Aside from this 10-game stretch they've been on where they have not done well, this team has played well. They were in a playoff spot only 2 weeks ago. So it's definitely a game that the Leafs have to come out quick, and they have to come out hard. They can't be taking penalties. They got to figure it out. But it's going to be a lot of fun to see what they can do. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, the Leafs, what they've done without Riley, it's a good showing. We talked about it last week. Alex mentioned it. They're playing playoff hockey starting now. So this is at this point in the season, they're starting to play playoff hockey because there's a lot of doubt about what this team is going to do come playoff time, considering that they're going to play the Panthers. They're going to play the
a lot of divisional opponents.
They could even see the Rangers at some point, and Igor Shesterkin, Panarin, you name it, Zibanejad, that team is looking good as well. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun second, I guess, final third of the season to see what the Leafs can do. But yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch as we break it down. But
looking at their record right now, or the standings right now, they still have two games in hand on Boston and Florida. So let's say, you know, Boston and Florida go cold. Toronto takes advantage of two games. Plus, they have three up on Tampa Bay right now. They're at 57. So the ball is in the Maple Leafs court right now on how you want to play the rest of the season. Now, we saw how hot they could get on a stretch. We saw that in a little bit of November and December where they started to get hot again. Then they went cold. The inconsistencies crept in. But the fact right now is, in the span since the 5th of February till now, Maple Leafs are 6th in point percentage. 714, 5 regulation wins, 2 losses. This is per natural stat trick. And you're looking at, like, you know, other key stats. They're 6th in goals for percentage. They have a decent scoring chances for percentage of 52.34. That puts them top 10 right there. High danger chances, 57.8%. That puts them 4th. You know, this team is doing damage. They're showing why they're one of the top offensive teams right now, and they're playing like it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Quick shout out to Bubba Jameson. Man, Bubba, you're making me feel like I'm in a jail cell with that name. But anyways, I appreciate it. It's a lot of fun talking Leafs, and when you guys can tune in here, and these are some of my coworkers here from me and
Steve. That's why. Okay.
I'll tell you, Stewie's a Detroit fan, and you know, it's been unfortunate for him over the last number of seasons as well. It's tough when you don't get to see playoff hockey, but
Detroit's in the thick of things.
I'm sure they're gonna be watching some playoff hockey soon. Stewie, give us your pick of the night for is Matthew scoring 50 in Arizona. Check it out on DraftKings. We'll get to that in a little bit. But the tenacity and the way that they played against the Ducks. We saw Domi go after Radko Gudas, and Radko Gudas kind of shy away from Ryan Reeves. That's exactly what you want as you get into the playoffs. What was your takeaway against the Ducks?
Textbook. I mean, what did Ryan Reeves say at the beginning of the season when he was brought in and they asked, what would you do in that situation if, you know, Gudas did that again? And he said, I can't remember word for word, but it probably said, like, oh, he probably wouldn't do that at all.
Something along the lines, I'd punch him in the face or something like that.
Probably, yeah. But he was at the beginning of the season when he was supposed to be that tough guy. Again, kind of shied away at that. But ever since he's come back too, he's been in the face of opponents. He's made his mark. And I don't know if maybe there was something lingering as a result of that throughout the season. But then when he went on injured reserve, he was dealing with something. And then he comes back and he's showing to stay in the lineup. You know, he scored against the Winnipeg Jets. You're not going to see a whole lot of that. But if he's being that presence in front of the net, that's going to be great. But that tough mentality, that mindset that he's just like, we'll see what happens. You know, let's see if he tries that again. He wasn't even on the team and he remembered what happened. And he was going right after him. I think it all started too where Gudas tried to lower the boom, tried to do like a hip check. But we know how controversial he could be with those type of hits where gets too low, clips somebody. And Reeves did not like that at all. Nobody did. Everybody's going after him. Bobby McMahon scores a goal when they're running up the score, and then he takes a shot at him. You see Domi come in there doing the flying Geo. And again, Geo wasn't in the lineup at that point as well, if I'm not mistaken. So he's coming in. He's making his presence felt. These were the guys that you brought in to bring that mentality, that snot, piss, and vinegar, showed the snot, piss, and vinegar that game. Now, let's just hope that this could continue afterwards into the postseason when that intensity amps up and you need someone to step up and get into the face of the opponents. But I really liked it. I thought that was a textbook game. And like I mentioned before, the physicality that showed in that first game against the Blues, where they were finishing off the checks on the forecheck, on along the boards, open ice. I mean, even in that second Blues game, Simon Benoit just absolutely leveled Pavel Buchnevich with a great open ice hit. Those are the type of plays you want to see. That's playoff hockey resonating with this team right now. And if they can do that, again, they may not have the type of names that are like appealing on a roster because Simon Benoit was, you know, supposed to be a seventh, eighth guy, but he's playing to stay in the roster. Reeves is showing that he wants to stick on the roster as well. This is the internal competition. This is the fight. This is what you want to see with all of them. And that is something that's going to stick with this team. It may not have seemed like much because it was the Ducks, but that could go a long way no matter what. Just like that game against the Sens, that could go a long way.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give a quick shout out here, Habibi. Thank you. Thank you. And yes, Bubba, it's playoff ready, my friend. Playoff ready.
months ready in advance.
That's right. I like to be prepared. I'm going to take a step further and talk about the St. Louis game, because I think the 9-2 blowout, it was great to see 5 points from Matthews. He played, 15 minutes, 15:42 or something like that. Just to
getting benched afterwards, too.
Yeah, getting points. Benched after his 5 points. What a way to get benched. But, the game against St. Louis, I mean, you had everybody contributing. Kampf had 2 hits. Reeves had 2 hits. Matthew Nyes had 2 hits. Those were your leaders. You had guys with 3-4 shots. Domi had 3 shots. He was getting in there. And I love what they've been doing with the lines. Like the top nine right now is looking so much better than what we had expected kind of coming out of that All-Star break. Bertuzzi's getting involved. He, you know, he got that one goal in Anaheim or against Anaheim rather. And you know, you could just see the kind of relief. We talked about it last week where, you know, he gets involved and you see the players kind of, you know, crowd him and surround him. They want him there. They want him to succeed. You had Nylander. Nylander had almost a 70% face-off win percentage. You had Tavares
shorthanded goal.
You had Tavares over 60%. So I mean, everybody was contributing and everything is going in the right ways right now. So that's the kind of stuff that you want to see, and that's why I say it's so much more playoff hockey right now is what we're seeing, because that's what needs to get done when come playoff time. So if they can do it now, I'm not gonna sit here and say they're not gonna go on a bit of a run later where they might lose 4 or 5, but you know, this is the kind of effort that you've wanted to see all season long. It's consistent. They're playing well. I mean, it certainly helps that you've got Matthews on this absolute tear. But that's what you want to see, and I think that's the biggest takeaway from their recent play is just what they've been able to accomplish as a team, as a unit, rather than one single player or one single line.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know what? To see Bertuzzi be so elated with that goal, like even I don't remember what he said, but it looks like you could read lips, and it sounded like he dropped an F-bomb, like, you know, finally or something like that. Like it's been a long time coming for Bertuzzi, and this is a guy that has made a living in and around the goal area, below the goal line, making feeds, passing it to his teammates. He's a great playmaker, and he buries those chances. And we saw what he could do in the playoffs. This is a guy that shined with star players, with Pasternak and Marchand and Bergeron. Now, all of a sudden, he goes really cold. I mean, there's always this buzz or talk about wanting to trade Bertuzzi right now, and I kind of get it because he's not living up to that 5.5 contract. But you put him on another playoff team, that's going to probably come back to haunt you. And you're caught in like at a crossroads of what to do with him. If he could pop off, like if he could go on a streak where he could get maybe not expecting a goal per game, kind of like Austin Matthews, where he's scoring 9 and 5 or like almost 2 goals per game. But if he could get like in this next stretch of like 5-10 games, at least 4 to 6, that's a good positive step for him in that direction. And hopefully he can start bearing some more, especially on the power play too. I know they took Tavares off to try and get Bertuzzi going a little bit more because he deserves the reward. He deserves that opportunity right now. And if he can get going, that's going to be a big plus.
Yeah, it's all about creating. He's done just that over the last number of games. But we've been talking a lot about the Leafs in Arizona tonight. I would put my money on the Leafs to take this one. And just with that, quick word from our sponsors over at DraftKings. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice this week. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. If you're looking at Matthews anytime goal score for 50, he's paying -135. And another Arizona boy in Matthew Nyes paying +285 to score tonight against his hometown Coyotes. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved. Well, obviously a big game in Arizona tonight. We've talked a little bit about it. We've mentioned possible goal scores. The Leafs are getting hot right now. They are 4-0 in the last four without Riley. They've missed a few other players along the way. Is it too early to be this hot, or are they getting hot at just the right time?
Yeah, and I believe even they've outscored their opponents 21-7. Then again, my math may be completely off because I have been never good at that. Just trying to do some quick math at the top of my head here. 21. Yeah, okay. So my math was kind of right. Yeah, given how, you know, they beat teams that they were supposed to, you know, Blues were kind of, you know, decent. They were getting hot, but, you know, they took advantage of a team that's in a playoff spot to, you know, put a wrench in things there. Philadelphia Flyers kind of had their moments as well, took advantage of a Blues team, and you get two more with the Coyotes to end tonight and then to end the month as well. But now is when you're beating teams that you're supposed to beat right now, and that is a really good start. But now it's time to take that one step further and continue to show that fight against perennial contenders, because then you got three straight against the last two cup winners. Two against Vegas, one against Colorado. You don't see a whole... I'm looking at their schedule for March and April, so that's going to be the home stretch. You don't see a lot of those games against those playoff or teams that are outside of the playoffs. You're dealing with a lot of players or a lot of teams that are in that situation or battling to get in. You need to take advantage of every single game at this point. If they can do that, that is what you want to do. You want to be playing playoff hockey in March leading up to the deadline and after the deadline, getting ready for the postseason. You do that with getting, we always talk about how teams need to play hot, like be hot going in, have that stretch of games. If they could go have a strong winning record, that's definitely got to feel good for the whole entire team, considering what they've been able to or what they've gone through adversity wise, you know, slow starts, poor defensive games, injuries. It seems like everything affected them to this point. You know, Samsonov was supposed to be their starting goaltender. He got sent down because of inconsistent play. Now he's playing well. He's at the top of his game. If everyone is on top of things and they play like they have during this stretch against said past Stanley Cup winners, top contenders in Boston and Florida, trying to still exercise those demons against Tampa Bay, and because you know they got that rivalry going on right now, put a damper in teams fighting for a playoff spot like the New Jersey Devils, which is kind of a bit of a shock right now because I think many of us anticipated them to get in. They just got to keep it going. They really need to show that that they are a really strong perennial contender, even though on paper they may not be the best looking team or have the depth, but that's up to see what happens at the deadline. If they could get some, you know, not sure if they'll be able to get a Chris Tanev, if they're willing to part with that first or even top picks, we'll see what happens. But if they could secure some more depth pieces, that I think is going to play a huge part as a result.
Yeah, I think right now the thing to look at is you know, the past 10 games for most of these teams, like this is where you have to take advantage. And the Leafs have to look at it and they have to continue to create opportunities the way they have, take advantage of opportunities the way they have, and know that, you know, as much as, and we'll get into this in a second, as much as we want Matthews to hit 70, like his pace could slow down at any point. Mm-hmm. Let's be realistic. We're not going to say
there's a chance. Yeah.
Right. So, but in saying that, the Vegas Golden Knights in their last 10, 5-4-1, the Colorado Avalanche in their last 10, 5-4.
And I just saw word right now that Mark Stone could be out for a significant amount of time. So I'll, you're without back. Mark Stone and Jack Eichel, who was also put on LTIR.
Interesting. Is it the Kucherov move going into the deadline?
I don't know, but it looked like Stone did take a really big hit.
Okay.
He's had some back issues
over his career as well, which is, you know, scary, obviously playing at that level, but
a lot of fans and teams are going to be like, okay, you know, caps are a convention again, you know, there's going to be a good chunk of LTIR money right there.
Well, until the league does something about that, there's always going to be that conversation as well. Arizona, obviously they take them on tonight. And as well, I believe later in February, 0-9-1 in their last 10. Then let's jump over to the Atlantic. You mentioned the Devils as well, 4-5-1 in their last 10. And then obviously the Atlantic right now, the Leafs are 8-2-0 in their last 10. Florida Panthers obviously streaking at 9-1 in their last 10. The Boston Bruins right now, 4-4-2 in their last 10.
They haven't looked really great.
They have not looked great. They have not looked great. And the Leafs right now have 2 games in hand on the Boston Bruins. They have 3 games in hand on the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are just 3 points behind them in the standings. And they have 2 games in hand on the Florida Panthers. So normally at this time of the year, the Leafs have zero control over their destiny because they've played more games than most other teams in their division. This time around, the Leafs hold games in hand on all three of those teams above them. They control their destiny. This is what it's going to come down to. They have to win these games. Those 2 games in hand, that puts you out of reach of the Tampa Bay Lightning if you win both of those games.
It's critical because you create that separation.
Exactly. And it gives you the opportunity to fight for home ice advantage. It gives you the opportunity to find yourself in that top 3. And it gives you the opportunity to exercise those playoff demons if need be when you get to that point. But their focus needs to be now. It needs to be what's coming up next, not what's coming up come April when playoffs hit and we're playing playoff hockey. This is playoff hockey for the Maple Leafs. There's no question they're getting hot at the right time.
Play like each game like it's an elimination game because they've been in this spot before. They know what it's like to close things out right now. They need to keep playing as if this is do or die. This is their moment. This is game 7. They need it. We talk about them having to have that mentality and mindset. This is the perfect time where your roster is not as strong as what it was last year. You lost key pieces. Now, hopefully that this is the time that all the core 4 are firing on all cylinders because they have been all season. They just need to do it at the right moment right now. Not just one person carrying the other 3 or the other members of their team right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. A quick last message from Bubba. BJ, go Leafs, go. Go Leafs, go, baby. Go Leafs, go.
Yes, absolutely.
Our final note of the night before we tail off on episode 150 to go watch our Leafs beat the Arizona Coyotes in Arizona at, what is it called? Gila Arena? Gila?
Yeah?
Yeah, Gila Arena. I think it's G-I-L-A. Gila Arena. Anyways, Auston Matthews is scoring on an unprecedented pace. The conversation.
Mullet Arena.
Oh, it's Mullet now. They were at Gila Arena, right?
It was Gila Arena before, because now they're playing at, you know, ASU.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Anyways. Yep.
we digress.
Yes. Matthews is scoring at an unprecedented rate. He, as we mentioned, he's looking to go for 70. He's looking for 50 tonight against his hometown team. There are stats floating around, and this is a conversation I've had with you guys for a while now. He's on a better pace score career wise than Alex Ovechkin and Wayne Gretzky. Okay. I believe he's averaging 0.64 goals per game, which is incredible. There's only three players above him. One was Mike Bossy, who unfortunately his career was cut short. Probably the greatest goal scorer of all time when you talk about NHL players. Mm-hmm. And then I forget who the other two were. And then the other note was era adjusted goal scores. There was one player that scored better than him in era adjusted goal scores, being Brett Hall. So very interesting stats to throw your way. You can look them up if you want. You can take them as you will. This guy is having an incredible year. And just in the last week, has there been conversation about Austin Matthews as a Hart Trophy candidate? Now, this is a guy who should potentially win the Selke. He's top five, I believe, in block shots by forwards. He plays on the penalty kill. He eats up minutes. He's also played on the power play. He plays in all situations. And he's just an incredible 200-foot player. He's also likely going to win the Rocket Richard unless something drastic happens. But when we talk about the Hart Trophy, a lot of times we go with who has the most points. And right now, Nikita Kucherov obviously has the most points. If Tampa doesn't have Kucherov in the lineup, we've seen it before in past seasons, they can still get the job done. If mm-hmm. you don't have a 70-goal scorer in your lineup, are the Leafs where they want to be at this point in the season?
No, because he's created so many game-tying and game-winning opportunities off of his stick. So many times that even early on in the season where he had those back-to-back hat tricks, especially against Montreal, he was the catalyst in securing that, you know, massive win against the Montreal Canadiens where they didn't deserve to win. He scored in big moments where he's carrying the team on his back. I didn't think they had a best first period against the Philadelphia Flyers. What does he do? Gets a hat trick. What happened in Calgary when they had that awful first period so far to that point? He goes in, shows his dominance, scores that goal as soon as he enters the opposing blue line for the gets the Flames, answers with a hat trick himself. This guy is scoring at clutch moments. This guy is scoring when the team needs him to. And he's scoring big goals in big ways, one-timers, deflections, and in tight spaces around the net. He's doing it all. He's not just doing it from one specific area. He's all over the place right now. And you talk about those stats and numbers, how you were to put Matthews in that type of era, it's off the charts of what he's able to do right now. It's insane. And even right now, like, you don't think that, you know, you look at his shooting percentages throughout his whole entire season, they've been very consistent. They hasn't dipped below 14% at all. This guy is deadly accurate with his shot and his placement and accuracy and everything like that. Like, his best shooting percentage was in 2020-21, that season where he scored 41 goals, you know, during the COVID lockout season. That was another on-pace season where he probably could have hit 60. Now it's at 21.5. Like, I can't remember the last time I saw somebody with a shooting percentage that high that was as productive as him. But yeah, you talk about how Kucherov, MacKinnon are probably the front runners for the Art Ross or the MVP at this point. Matthews should get a lot of talk right now. And the fact that he hasn't gotten a lot of talk to this season, even when he was scoring goals, when the Maple Leafs were downright just awful and he was always their best player showing up every single night, that just proves this guy is a difference maker. This is a guy that is carrying the team and is an immensely valuable player to them. You take away those goals or you take half of them out, they're not even in the spot that they're in right now. They're not just you know, going back and forth between third spot and a wild card spot. This is a team that could very well may have been out of a playoff position had he not scored the goals that he had at critical moments. I think that he deserves a lot more recognition at this point. And the fact that he's already at 50 in 53 games, I think the last one to do that in a short amount of time or within that span was Mario Lemieux. I'm going to have to go back and check on that. I'm going to have to do some fact checking and digging right there, but he is absolutely tearing it up right now. And if he could hit 70 points, the first player to do it since, I believe it was both Mogilny and Solani, that is, what else can you say? What else can you say about that?
All right, I'm going to throw this at you. He's seventh, tied in seventh in the league in points with 73. Right now, he's sitting 21 points back of Kucherov for the for number one spot. He's not like there's nobody even close when it comes to goals. He's 49, 10 ahead of Sam Reinhart right now, who has 39 for Florida. Obviously, also having a big year. But what other player in the league right now is made up for 25% of their team's overall goals? That's got to be taken into consideration.
Yeah,
I think, you know, minus the fact that, you know, Kucherov's having an incredible year. McKinnon's got a lot of power play points, so he's racking up the points as well. He's sitting at 92. The conversation has to be, what have they done for their teams? And the Leafs right now would not be where they are without a guy scoring 25% of their goals, making up for that whatever $13 million he's going to be making next season.
Also the lack of scoring depth too.
Also the lack of scoring depth and the goaltending issues they've had this season as well. This team is where they are because of Auston Matthews. I don't think there's any question about it. He's got to be in the Hart conversation. There has to be talk. If he hits 70, there's no question. He has to win the Hart Trophy. That just isn't done in today's game. And he's on pace to do so. So definitely something that has to be talked about. Other than that, I do want to share with you my donkey of the week. This was just
I did find that tweet. Matthews 49 goals in 53 games to become the fastest player to 50 goals in a season since Mario Lemieux did it in 95-96, 50 goals in 50 games played. Record among active skaters is 61 games by McDavid in 22-20, so last season. Yeah. And Matthews is looking to just absolutely crush that. A season after McDavid said, you know what, I'm not going quietly in the MVP race. And that was from Sportsnet Stats.
There you go. So this comes from Optimism in This Day and Age at Steve Steele 23. He shared this lovely Habs fan. I don't know if you'll be able to see it, but the Habs fan with the jersey at the Habs game. Number 67, Leafs suck. So look.
Is it really worth it?
If you want to spend your money and customize your own jersey to have your last name, I still think that's a donkey move. To go and get a Habs jersey and customize it with Leafs Suck 67. Yeah. I mean,
that's just a waste. Like, was it really worth it?
Yeah, you're paying.
You could have had Suzuki or Caulfield on there.
Yeah, $250. I don't know. Anyways, that's my donkey of the week. Peter, it's been a pleasure. 150 episodes. It's been a ride. I look forward to the next 150. Can't wait to get more former Leafs on this show. And that's going to happen as we continue to progress here. Anything you want to add before we close out here, buddy?
No, very quiet on my end right now. But I will say this is now, like we mentioned this whole entire episode, now is when the grind starts. Now is when they with Riley's suspension, they played their best hockey. It can't stop when he returns after this game. They need to be pedal to the metal, in your face, doing everything they can to win every single game. And now with the situation that the Golden Knights are in, the fact that you're playing them twice in the next three games, that needs to be said that you got to take advantage of your opponents. You cannot sit back at all.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, like I've said before, everybody who tunes in weekly, we appreciate you guys. We wouldn't be at episode 150 without you. If you haven't already, follow us on any of the socials down below, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, make sure you subscribe on YouTube. Let's get us to that century mark. Shout out to the Hockey Podcast Network, who has driven this show over the last season. DraftKings, Indie Ale House, everybody who tunes in, we appreciate you. That's it. Signing off for episode 150.